然后接下来是本周的经句，这一周的经句是出自希伯来书11章31节，我们就一起来读两次。好，我们开始。据你拉合因着信曾和和平平地接待探子，就不与那些不顺从的人一同灭亡。希伯来书11章31节。好，我们再来一次。31节。好，现在孩童会到他们的主日学教室，我们请弟兄姊妹们翻开圣经，翻开圣经的约书亚记第二章的部分，我会读全章。好，约书亚记第二章，给大家一点时间可以翻到。约书亚记第二章。当下论的儿子约书亚从石亭暗暗打发两个探子，两个人做探子，吩咐说，你们去窥探那地和耶利哥。于是两人去了，到了一个妓女名叫拉合的家里，就在那里躺卧。有人告诉耶利哥王说，今夜有以色列的人到这里窥探此地。耶利哥王打发人去见拉合说，那来到你这里见了你家的人要交出来，因为他们窥探全地。女人将两人隐藏，就回答说，那人果然到我这里来，他们是从哪里来的我却不知道。天黑要关城门的时候他们出去了，往那里去我也不知道。你们快快赶去追赶，就必追上。先是女人领两人上了房顶，将他们藏在那里所摆的麻街中。那些人就往约旦河的渡口追赶他们去了。追赶他们的人一出去，城门就关了。两人还没有躺卧，女人就上房顶到他们那里，对他们说，我知道耶和华已经把这地赐给你们，并且因你们的缘故我们都惊慌了。这地的一切居民在你们前面心都消化了，因为我们听见你们出埃及的时候，耶和华怎样在你们前面使红海的水干了，并且你们怎样带约旦河东的两个亚摩利王西宏和噩，将他们进行毁灭。我们一听见这些事心就消化了，因你们的缘故并无一人有胆气。耶和华你们的神本是上天下地的神，现在我既然是恩待你们，求你们指着那耶和华向我起誓，也要恩待我父家，并给我一个实在的证据，要救活我的父母弟兄姐妹和一切属他的，拯救我们性命不死。两人就对他说，你若不泄露我们这件事，我们情愿替你们死。耶和华将这地赐给我们的时候，我们必以慈爱诚实待你。于是女人用绳子将两人从窗户里垂下去，因她的房子是在城墙边上，她也住在城墙上。她就对他们说，你们且往山上去，恐怕追赶的人碰见你们，要在那里隐藏3天，等追赶的人回来，然后才可以走你们的路。两人对他说，你要这样行，不然你叫我们所起的事就与我们无干了。我们来到这地的时候，你要把这条朱红线绳系在垂我们下去的窗户上，并要使你的父母弟兄和父的全家都聚集在你家中。还出去你家门往街上去的，他的罪必归到自己的头上，与我们无干了。凡在你们家的，若有人下手害他，流他的血，罪就归到我们的头上。你若泄露我们这件事，你叫我们所起的事就与我们无干了。 女人说：“照你们的话行吧。”于是打发他们去了，又把朱红线绳系在窗户上，两人到山上，在那里住了三天，等着追赶的人回来了。追赶的人一路找他们，却找不着。两人就下山回来，过了河，到论的儿子耶稣亚那里，向他们诉说所遭遇一切的事，又对耶稣亚说：“耶和华果然将那全地交在我们手中，那地的一切居民在我们前面都消化了。”以上是神的话。接下来，牧师Matthews 牧师给我们证道的题目是 "Behind the Scenes"。Pastor Matthews will be deliver a sermon, titled "Behind the Scenes". Please.
Can I use one of these music stands? Good morning. It is a joy to be back with you here. It's been a little while since I've been able to be here with you, and I was excited about getting to come today and see all of your happy faces. This is a wonderful place, such love here, and joy, and I always just really enjoy being with you. It's been quite a year for me. A lot has happened in my life. And, you know, and we never know what the years bring for us, do we? We just never know what happens or what is going to happen. Is it okay that I'm down here? Is that all right? Okay. I just like to be a little closer. I feel so far away if I'm back there. I feel too far away, so I like to be closer. Uh-oh. Okay. As long as I don't lift up on it, I'm going to be okay.
You picked the best one.
Did I? Great. Okay, thank you. This last year, my father developed fourth stage cancer. The year before, he was they had detected lung cancer, and he went through chemo and radiation and was doing okay. And then this last, just this year in February, they discovered that it had metastasized in his brain. And so I actually, fortunately, my my job at the university, they allowed me to take a family medical leave, and I was able to be with him the last months of his life. And we walked through that with him, and then he passed away in April of this year. And so it's just been a life change for me. And one of the changes that I'm grappling with is now that I'm the oldest one in my family. And that's, I'm not sure that I want to be the patriarch. You know, when you reach that place, I'm not sure that I want that position, but life changes for us, and I'm feeling the jolt of those changes in my life. And my wife is currently flying back and forth between here and Colorado because her dad is 88 and is on hospice, and her mom is 83 and can't take care of him, so she's flying back for all of their appointments. And spending her time between here and there constantly. So our lives are changing. Things change over time. But you know what? In the midst of change, one of the things that I hold on to and I have discovered is that God is the constant. He never changes. His grace, His strength, the provision that He has for us is always there, and that never changes. So life changes, our lives change, we look in the mirror and we have grown older, but God is still the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's good news. Amen? That's good news. Well, today I want to speak to you, obviously, out of the book of Joshua. The story here, as leadership has changed, the Israelites have gone through a period of change in their history right here at the beginning of Joshua. It's a good change. In fact, the whole generation has moved off of the scene, and Joshua now is the leader after Moses. He has become the leader of the people of Israel. And it's time to begin to move forward in a new way in this time of change for them. They're moving forward and they're going into the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to them. They're going to move forward into that land. And it's time to do that. Joshua's trying to get the people ready. In fact, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, if I could just take a moment and read those verses for you. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Here is the version I have with me today. It says this, God speaking to Joshua. I'm going to start back at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I told Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, and he begins to describe all of that. And then he says, no man of you, in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And then he says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so he said to Joshua, I've promised this to Moses. This has been a promise that's been longstanding, and now it's time, Joshua, to take the people over across this Jordan to the land that I've promised to you. So as Joshua begins to get the people ready, one of the things that he does is he selects a couple of men to go over and to scout out the land, to kind of spy on what's going on over there and to check it out. Now, the minute that Joshua does this, I begin to remember back what happened before. If you know the story, I feel like I'm distorting a little bit. Am I distorting a little bit? I feel like I'm too loud. Can I be turned down just a little bit? I feel like I'm so loud. Am I too loud there? That's better. Yeah, I feel really loud. Okay. If you know the history of the children of Israel, what happened is there were spies sent in the past. And really, God had originally intended for them to go over into the promised land much, much earlier. But they didn't. In fact, they began to wander around in the wilderness for an extra 40 years until a whole generation moved off of the scene. And it was because 12 spies had been sent before, among whom Joshua and Caleb were two of them. They were two of the 12 spies that were sent over. When the spies went over, they came back with these grapes, like huge grapes on these poles, and they came back with samples of the fruit in the land. And everybody's going, whoa! And they came back and said, yes, God is right. The things you've heard about the land, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. It's a prosperous land. And Joshua and Caleb are going, yes, we should go in. We should follow the instructions of the Lord and go take the land. But the rest of the people said, there are giants in the land. We should not do this. In fact, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. That's what they said. They said, we shouldn't do this. And they spread all of these rumors to all of the people and stirred up the crowd until there was really a riot. If you look back in the book of Deuteronomy, we find out, and in the book of Numbers, we find out that the people had stirred everyone else up to the point where nobody wanted to go in. They said, no, we're not going. Why didn't you leave us back in Egypt? Why didn't you leave us alone there? And are you trying to take us into this land and kill us? And in fact, the Bible says that they were going to pick up stones and stone Moses. And so God, you know what God says at moments like that? And I'm sure that, and I know that he has in my own life, the Lord says to me, fine. If that's what you think, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll let you have. And so he let him stick around in the wilderness for another 40 years. And they kept going around the same mountain. I feel like we're going in circles. And the Lord said, that's because you wouldn't believe me. You're going to go around the same mountain for 40 more years. 40 years later, Joshua now is the leader, one of the 12 spies, one of the only two that are survived, that are still alive from those original 12. And God says to Joshua, it's time. My point is this, the first thing he does is he picks a couple of men to go out and spy the land, and I'm going, don't do it. Don't you remember what happened last time? Joshua, is that a good idea that you would send spies to go across? Because it didn't work out so well the first time. So, Joshua sends spies. I've given you some notes here, but they're notes, so I hope you guys are okay over there. Okay, good. So Joshua did a couple of things different. His approach was different this time. I think Joshua did remember the first time that spies were sent, so he sends spies a little differently. First of all, he didn't send 12, he sent 2. And that's good. The bigger the committee, the harder it is to agree. Right? You, like a board of 45 is much more challenging to work with than a board of 3. You know what I mean? The bigger the group, the harder it is to get us all on the same page. So the first time they sent 12, one selected from each tribe. This time Joshua sends 2. That he hand selects. He selects 2 to go. As a leader, he probably knows people he can count on. And so he didn't allow the others to select him, he selected them. 2 guys that he could trust to go over and look at the land. The first time they went, they were publicly sent. Everybody sent them off. You know, the whole party was there waving them off. Bye. You know, so everybody was at the train station waving them away. This time it was private. It was just Joshua and the 2 spies sending them off secretly. So it wasn't a big public event that could create an uproar. He was acting wisely as a leader in this endeavor. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it was a little different. And the first time, they came back and reported to everyone. So, they came back and publicly reported, or the first time. This time, they came back and only reported to Joshua, to him alone. Also, the first time, it wasn't necessarily what was done differently. So, why did he send the spies? Why did Joshua send the spies? Well, when you're in leadership, just because you're obeying God and acting on faith doesn't necessarily mean that God intends for you to not use your head. He expects you to use your head.
He gave you your brains. So sometimes in Christianity, we've only used our heart and haven't used our head. But God gave you your head too. He expects you to be wise, yes? Because if I only went by my heart sometimes, I might do something foolish and then turn around and I go, oh. So, for instance, God expects us to act in financial matters, not just with our hearts, but with our heads too. Sometimes I want to. Sometimes I want to give something to someone, or I want to help. Sometimes I want to. And sometimes God tells me to by faith. That's a different matter. But then sometimes I know that I have to act wisely here. I can't just do everything I want to. I can't just get everything I want to. God expects me to use my head and not just my heart. Does that make sense? Okay. I feel like we're thinking. That's good. Okay. Okay. So, just because God had told them to go across didn't mean that he didn't want Joshua to also exercise his military knowledge and his strategy. He wanted him to go on ahead and use his talents. And that's what God does, is he calls on you to act by faith inside of the talents and the abilities and the strategy that and the thinking that he's given you. That's why he called you, because he knows what he put inside of you. Faith doesn't mean that a person is not supposed to engage the talents and the abilities that they're endowed with. That's why Joshua's the leader. He's a man of faith, but God expects him to also use his talents and his abilities and the strategy that's a part of his life. So Joshua was expanding his vision and preparing himself for action. In using the military ability and thinking that he had, he was expanding his vision. He was trying to get a big picture of this and not just go in blind. He was preparing himself for what was ahead. So he was sending these two men. I want you to go and I want you to look out the land. And he's doing this on purpose because of his position. Number two, he was looking beyond just crossing the Jordan. He was trying to think ahead. He was trying to plan ahead for what was coming. Again, in faith, we don't always see ahead. But Joshua was doing everything he could. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say to us today, is God calls you to do things. God speaks to you to do things, but he also expects you to do everything that you should do. Does that make sense? Everything you can do, he wants you to do, and then what you can't do, he'll do that for you. That's what we do as we come up to that point. The third thing that he was doing, he was doing his part in following God's directive. He was doing his part. God said that he'd provide for me. What are you doing? I'm waiting for God to provide for me. But wasn't there a job offer over here? I didn't take it because I'm waiting for God to provide for me. And the Lord is going, that was my provision for you. Am I making sense? So Joshua had to do his part. This guy here can't just sit and expect God to do it all. He has to do his part, and then God provides. I step forward, God provides. But I have to do my part. Okay? So that principle is embedded in here. The spies, once they were dispatched, were directed to, hidden and protected by a woman named Rahab, the Bible tells us. So they came to this city, and they ended up connecting with this woman named Rahab, and they ended up being hidden by her in her home. Joshua would hear later on that the whole land trembled. They'd come back and they'd go, "Joshua, everybody's heard of us. Everybody's heard about God. Everybody's heard about what happened before." And they heard that the whole land trembled because of them. In chapter 2, verse 10, and in 24 that we just read, the reputation of the Israelites went before them. So here's my question. I just wanted to say all of that to set this up. But this is what I really want to talk about this morning. What new thing did Joshua learn? What did he learn? He did what he was supposed to do. He sent the spies. But in the end, what good did it do? I mean, there was encouragement there. They were encouraged. They were inspired. Yes. It's nice to have confirmation where it's like you get some news and you go, okay, I feel better about it now. I just know because they said and, you know, and everything looks like, yes, this is where we should go. So he did get confirmation. He's receiving confirmation because of the report back from the two men. But on a military front, what new thing did Joshua learn? What did he learn that would help him defeat the city of Jericho? Because when they went in to defeat Jericho, guess how they did it? By marching around the city 7 times. You know, once each day and then 7 times on the 7th day, and then shouting and blowing trumpets. I don't think they learned anything new about that. Joshua, I notice a place in the wall. That's where we should blow the trumpet. I don't think they learned anything regarding that. Are you with me? Am I making sense? What intelligence did Joshua receive that would be crucial in winning and taking the city of Jericho? He didn't receive anything that way. What military strategy did he gain from the spies' reports? Because they were going to take Jericho with shouting and with marching. They would cross the Jordan River miraculously. They were going to cross the Jordan River by the priests standing in the water, and the waters were going to be parted in front of them. So Joshua didn't learn anything that was going to help him take the land. Am I making sense? Did God actually tell him to send the spies? Is the question that I have. Because when we look back in Deuteronomy, it's implied that the people, actually, it was their idea to send the original 12 spies. And then God finally says in the book of Numbers, send them, pick a person from each tribe, and send them over. But it wasn't a good idea to begin with. So, did God specifically speak to Joshua about sending the spies? We learned that God allowed the spies to go in the first place, but I think it was important that these two spies went, and it was done differently. Joshua handled it differently. He approached it completely different. So it was important that they went. Could God have given confirmation and encouragement another way? Probably. He probably could. So, I hope you're with me, because here's where I want to go. This is the whole point of my message this morning, is the fact that God works behind the scenes. Behind the scenes is a theater term. I'm a theater professor. I'm a dramatist. You've heard of the term behind the scenes, yes? Heard of that term, behind the scenes? And when we think of that, it's the things that we don't get to see. It's the stuff that happens behind the curtain. I think of the Wizard of Oz and the man saying, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Behind the scenes. It's the stuff back there that makes everything out here work. It's the guys that are holding the ropes that are weighted that operate a huge puppet. In the musical Wicked, the dragon that's on top is operated by a series of ropes and weights. You don't get to see that. That's behind the scenes, but you see the dragon out in front in the musical Wicked. It's all of the apparatus behind that's important. That if it wasn't there, everything out here wouldn't happen. It wouldn't take place. I want to suggest to you today that God is at work behind the scenes. That sometimes we only see what's in front of the curtain. We only see what's out here, but God is at work back here. And we can't always see that. We don't realize that He's up to something. That He's actually orchestrating what's happening here. And we think it's us. We think we're the ones that are actually making it happen, but it's God that's actually pulling the ropes and the weights and causing things to come together in an incredible way out in front of us. And then we look back, because hindsight is many times 20/20, we look back and go, oh, God was doing something there and I did not see it. I couldn't tell at the beginning that God was actually in control all along. Because He's at work behind the scenes. I'd like to suggest to you today, and I hope that you catch this, that God is at work behind the scenes in your life. He's doing more than you even realize behind the scenes. Sometimes we're so stuck in the moment of what's happening in our life that all we see is this little moment when we don't realize that God is at work behind the scenes in the bigger picture, and He's actually bringing things to pass as we trust Him in our lives and in our circumstances. It's great that the spies were directed to the home of a woman who would help them and protect them. I don't know how they ended up there. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they ended up there. Sometimes we cross the path of people and we don't know why. But it was important that I met them on that day. And they become an influence in my life for the rest of my life. And God brings those two things to pass. He's always working on both sides of things. So the spies are coming. They're going to end up at Rahab's house. Crazy. What if it had been somebody else? What if? I ask a lot of what if when I'm thinking about life and thinking about my own life and thinking about stories. What if? In James 2:25 and Hebrews 11:31, we're told something important about this woman. We read the verse earlier in Hebrews. I want to just go back and read those again. Hebrews 11:31. It says this, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. It tells us that there was faith involved on her part. And in James, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 25, it says this. It says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. And here James is arguing that it's not just faith, but that her faith accompanied by works made a difference. Rahab accepts the fact that the spies that the Israelites are coming to take the city. She accepts that fact. And then she believes in the God of the Israelites. I love what she says. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. And I just want to look at these verses with you one more time. It says this. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the spies, and listen to these words, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. And listen to what she says here. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and on the earth beneath. She says something incredible here. She says, for the Lord your God, He is God. The heavens above and the earth beneath. And she came to this place of belief. She believed in that. She believed by faith in God. And she acts on that belief, hides and delivers the spies. And then she lowers them over the wall by a crimson or a red rope. It's significant to me that the rope is red. It's significant. Here's my suggestion to you. It's the premise for this message this morning. Could it be that the major reason the Lord allowed Joshua to send the spies was so that one woman, a woman named Rahab, might be spared from the destruction of Jericho? He didn't learn anything that would help him take Jericho. He didn't receive any intelligence that would actually assist him. He could have been encouraged another way. But could it be that God saw that there was one woman there who would be rescued? And that's the reason the spies went. It was for her. I believe it was. God has a record of acting like that for the one. For the one. Because He knows where we're at. Someone who's forgotten. And then He does something incredible for one. Unbelievable. Almost. God was doing something behind the scenes. He was at work. The reason this woman wasn't destroyed was because the spies came to her house and she let them down by the cord. Now, if you go to the rest of the story, here's what we know. The Bible says her house was on the wall. In the city, right? It was in the wall. It's believed that the walls of Jericho were 30 feet across. They were thick. That's a big wall. so thick homes were built into it. We're also told that when Joshua and the people of Israel marched around Jericho, that the walls fell down. Right? But her home was in the wall. That means that the walls fell down except her home. Do you have the picture? Am I making sense to you? That's crazy. It's kind of like God hailing everywhere in Egypt except where the Israelites are in Goshen. So it's like there's this little pocket where there's no hail and it's hailing everywhere else. The sun is shining there. It's like, that's weird. How does that happen? Which is another affirmation or confirmation that God was at work here, confirming not just them, but actually rescuing a woman, that one place that doesn't fall when everything else falls down. It remains standing because of her faith. Because of her faith. The rope by which Rahab delivers the spies will be the mark by which her family is saved. And she gathers people in there, and those that are in her home are saved. It reminds me of the Passover night, where those that had the mark on their house, the death angel passes over them. And those homes, the firstborn remains alive, but everywhere else, the firstborn is slain. It's like the red rope hanging down, and she's passed over and delivered in the midst of the chaos. Her home in the wall is saved. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Here's what it means for you and me. God knows where you are. He knows where you are. Even if you feel all alone, separated, abandoned, forgotten, God knows where you are. He knew where she was, and he heard her faith. He heard it. God knows where I am. He hasn't forgotten me. In fact, the Psalms tell us that you can't get away from God. You can't go anywhere where you could finally escape him. But not just that, God knows where you're at. He hasn't forgotten you. Will you say this with me? God hasn't forgotten me. Say it with me. God hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't forgotten you. Sometimes in our lives we say, God, why? Why? What's happening here? But God sees it, and he hasn't forgotten you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's happening in your life, but God hasn't forgotten. He sees you, and he knows. God sees the hearts of people, and he will not extinguish or ignore any movement toward him. When I call out to him, he hears me. He does not ignore that. I'm so glad that God responds to my cry. When I say, God, help me, he hears me. He hears you. He heard her heart, I believe. And God has a plan. He has a way to deliver those who put their trust in him. He can get you out. For her, it looked like they're coming and this is hopeless. But she didn't know that there were a couple spies coming that were actually going to be her ticket out. Sometimes the Lord will surprise us because he's working behind the scenes. He's working on both sides of it. He sees her faith, and he also sees these spies coming, and he crosses their paths, puts this together, and rescues a woman. When in the big scheme of things, it looks like that probably wouldn't happen. If this city's going down, we're all going down. but God rescues her. God does not turn away from anyone who comes to Him. God will go to whatever length it takes to reach one person. I just want that to sink in. God will go to whatever length it takes to reach one person. To reach one. God will go to whatever length it takes to reach me and to reach you, to reach your neighbor, to reach that person whose heart is prepared, whose heart is open to Him. He'll go to whatever extent that that would take. Here's the eternal principles that I want to share with you today. Am I doing okay on time? All right. I think so. Here's the eternal principles. God's more interested in people than in territory. He's more interested in Rahab than He is in the people taking Jericho. Believe it or not, He's more interested in people. He's more interested in people than a church building. He's more interested in the people in it. He's more interested in your neighbor. That's why He'll go to whatever extent to reach one, to reach just one. One is important. And then I'm gonna point that out to you here in just a moment, how significant she is. God leads us to places and to things not so much for us, but as for the people who need us to be there. I think some years ago I shared this principle with you, but it just bears repeating, and that is that sometimes we forget that God doesn't have you at your job or in your neighborhood or at the place that you are or at the school you're at just for you. There's a reason, see, because He's working behind the scenes. Why are you at the school you're at now instead of some different school? Could it be that you're at the job you're at and not some different job because there are people at your job that need to hear from you? They need you to be there. You're like the spies who came in. She needed them to be there so that she would be rescued. Am I making sense? There are people that you can talk to that no one else can talk to. I recognize that even in my own family, I have family members who are away from God, but sometimes they won't listen to me. And so I pray, God, send somebody across their path who they will listen to. And sometimes it's not a family member that can talk to them. Because sometimes they go, whatever, you know, to their family member. I'm not listening to you. No, blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to you because you're the family member. But then sometimes somebody from the outside comes who they respect and maybe who actually finds a way in, who can come to them and say, what's up with you? Why are you like this? And they'll listen to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's that other person. There are people that only you can reach. No one else is going to be able to talk to them but you. And so God puts you in a place, not just so that you can earn a paycheck, but He puts you there so that you'll be the voice to rescue the woman on the wall and help her get to safety. Am I making sense? The spies weren't there to learn anything. Yes, they got encouragement. Yes, they found out the people trembled. But the spies were there because there was a woman who needed to be rescued. And by the very rope that she let them down, that was the rope that rescued her. Many times God leads us to do things and through processes, not so much for us, as for the people who are there, who need our help to find Him and to find their way home. God values you and those around you that much. Again, let me say also that God is working behind the scenes in your life. I feel like the Lord wants to say that to someone here today. That God is working behind the scenes, and you may think all is lost, or I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I feel like it's just not going to happen. It's without hope. But God is at work behind the scenes, and you just can't see it yet. All you can see is what's in front of the curtain, but God is at work back there, and He's doing something incredible. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Here's my last point this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It's on the screen for you, but I'm going to read it. Here's the amazing thing. Get this. This is the record of the ancestors of Jesus. I think it's spelled wrong. I got Jesus. I'm sorry. Wow. That's a typo I did not see. The Messiah. It should be J-E-S-U-S. All right, the Messiah. A descendant of King David and of Abraham. Listen to this. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, the mother of who was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. And you remember Boaz is... yeah, he's connected. Grandfather. Grandfather with David, yes. And he's connected with Ruth. And Boaz's mother was Rahab. She's in the line of Jesus. What in the world? She ends up in the line of Jesus as a Jerichoite, a person who's not even an Israelite. And what it speaks to is the grace of God. He was already reaching to the Gentiles back then because of her faith. She ends up not only rescued, but she ends up as a prominent part of the line that would bring the Messiah to earth. God's grace is crazy. And He was at work behind the scenes to rescue this woman who would play a prominent place, forever marked in the line of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I'm so glad that God works behind the scenes in your life and in my life. And what He's looking for is trust. He says, just trust me. Trust me. I'm at work. He's at work in your neighbor's lives. He's at work in this church. Sometimes we look at it and say, I don't know how we're going to do this. Trust God. Because He's doing things that you haven't thought of. And He's bringing it all together. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank You today for the work that You're doing in our lives. For the work You did in Rahab's life. You saw her trust, her faith, that she believed that You were God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That You were God. And You saw that. And You sent a couple of spies. You allowed that to happen so that she could be rescued. And look how the story turned out. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name today that we'll recognize that even though we can't see it, that You were at work behind the scenes in our lives. That You were at work behind the scenes on our jobs, in our neighborhoods. You're working behind the scenes here at this local church. You're doing something. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to rely upon you. Yes, to do what we can, but to know, Lord, that you're going to make up the rest. Help us, God. And Lord, I pray for that person, those persons in this room today who feel like, I just don't know what's going to happen here, to trust you, Lord, to reach out and trust you, to call on you and know that you are at work behind the scenes, and to rely on that today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen.